Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and it's Thursday, July 25th, and I can tell you that in a matter of 10 days, the world has changed so dramatically that it's pretty incredible. However, in a very short period of time, you all are going to hear certainly a friend of mine who is strongly pro-Trump. No, that's okay.
I'm on a live
show. Yeah, can you hear me now over there, Jim?
Yeah, there's a little bit of static. It's not as bad as last time.
Okay, good. Okay, so the bottom line is we're being joined by my friend, and did you want to write your name in so people can see you, or if you want to hide?
You can't see me?
No, I see you, but you just don't have your name in there.
Oh, I typed it in.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no problem. So I don't know why it's not showing, but your name is Jim Modlin, right?
Yeah, it's showing on the screen.
There it is. Now it is. Yeah. Okay. So Jim, you are strongly pro-Trump, right?
I am.
Okay. And the interesting thing is that we have become friends over a period of years, and strictly from Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things at the latest rally that Trump did is, you know, he said, you know, people asked him to be nice, and he said to the audience, and you may have seen this, he said, do you want me to be nice? And they said, no, we don't want you to be nice. He says, well, good, because I'm not going to be. Okay? So the thing is, let me ask you, how do you feel about that? Because I know that you've been a little rough online with some people. You were rough on me at the beginning, but then we became friends, and then, you know, none of that. So, yeah, how do you feel about his behavior?
Here, let me back up just a second.
You bet.
So you can understand this. I absolutely, back in 2016 when he first ran, I absolutely, my whole life, I couldn't stand Donald Trump.
Okay.
Never been a fan of his. Didn't like his show, didn't like him as a person. I did like the idea of him being on the, is that the key there? Thank you. I did like the idea of him being on the, you know, being a businessman and being on the, sorry, I had somebody walk in.
Just no, it's all right.
Did you?
Call back.
I can have Sean call you.
Just call back up here?
Yeah. Okay. You know, I would love the idea of, you know, I told you the other day, back in the 90s, I was a late 80s, early 90s, I was a Democrat.
Right.
At least so I thought. You know, I voted for Jesse Jackson back in the day. And then Ross Perot, even. I actually couldn't stand, you know, who he was and what he was all about. And, but I did like the fact that he said what was on his mind, sometimes too much. I couldn't stand his Twitter account. And then when he became president, it's hard to really explain, but he felt like, it feels like he's closer to being and to everyday Joe than any other candidate that I've ever seen. He says what's on his mind. I don't think we're ever left wondering what's on his mind. And I think he did a phenomenal job as president, even being attacked for those first 4 years, you know, from the Democrats, the media and everything else. And that's when I became a very staunch reporter supporter of his. And actually, when he ran again and all that, you know, craziness that went down, you know, I don't like everything he does by any means. You know, he does some stuff that I don't agree with. I think by far he is the best we have going for us right now to turn this country around. I don't know about you, but between 2016 and 2020, 21 was the best economy had. I've been in the car business for 32 years, and it's been 15 years since we've had since we had those kind of years. I mean, it was phenomenal years.
So you sold a lot of cars.
Sold a lot of cars. The economy seemed to be doing a lot better. You know, 401ks, like a lot of friends that, you know, work for Boeing and some of these bigger companies, were tripling, quadrupling, and they just absolutely loved it. They became big supporters. And, you know, like I said, we all said the same thing. We wish he'd turn his Twitter account off. You know what I mean? There's not everything I love about him. I mean, he's not somebody that I want my, you know, and look, my kid, I'm going to show my kids and say, here, I want you to grow up to be this guy right here. You know, he's not a perfect human being by any imagination, but I think he's a perfect candidate for president.
Yeah. And a lot of people say that, you know, that's for sure. But there are certainly a few things that have developed since 2016 that may add to some people's concerns. And I'm going to ask you, for example, the obvious is that he's now a convicted felon. How do you feel?
I don't think he's a convicted felon, to be honest with you. I think that was the biggest sham thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, that judge had it out for him. We were in New York. I mean, let's face it. That was that whole thing was a kangaroo court. You know, they took that they tried to get him on that. What, a year or 2 years earlier, they took it to the FBI and they said they wanted nothing to do with it.
Well, the FBI isn't responsible for bringing a case to court. That's the first thing.
Well, it's
a grand jury that has to do it, and the grand jury
is what I meant to say.
Okay, and the grand jury, they always, I mean, as soon as it was put in front of the grand jury, they voted to indict him. So. Yeah. Now, there was under Cyrus Vance, the previous prosecutor, he had decided not to pursue it. So that, I think, is maybe what, you know, you're referring to.
Yeah.
But when he decided not to pursue it, yeah, there were some different reasons. But in any event, when the current prosecutor decided, he went to the grand jury. The grand jury said yes. If I said to you, and believe me, I pretty much know, I think, what you're going to say, but if I say to you that the trial as it existed that we saw in New York, that's exactly the way every trial takes place, that's totally normal. If I say that to you, does that convince you of anything?
No, I don't think that's the way every trial takes place. I mean, here, if you've watched anything since then, and I'm sure you have. I mean, I'm sure you do tons of research.
Sure, sure.
They, I mean, the way they shut him down on everything they tried to do, and, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. I was just talking with somebody. I could tell you exactly what... at top of my head right now, I got a million things going on.
Sure.
I can't think exactly what I was trying to say, but it was, there was a bunch of stuff during that trial that literally just wasn't what would happen in a normal trial. I mean, the judge was very, very, very much against Trump. It was, you could tell that from the get go. And I mean, I've never seen it like it. Obviously, it wasn't live, but I was watching the coverage during the whole
sure.
And of course, obviously, it depends on the station you turn it on. I'm not a fan of either one of CNN or Fox. I'm not a Fox fan by any means. I try and find the most impartial thing I could possibly find I think at one point I was watching it on C-SPAN even. And then, you know, I actually, and I do know it's a conservative site, but I was watching some on Newsmax as well.
Sure.
But it's just, I just don't agree with it. I mean, the guy's 77 years old. He's never had a felony conviction in his life, and all of a sudden now he's got 34 or whatever it is. I mean, the guy don't just decide to become a convicted felon or become a felon when he's almost 80 years old.
Well, I mean, if I were to say to you, because believe me, this is the sort of thing we talk about all the time. And let me say even before I say this, that originally the idea, which we're going to do, is going to be to bring in your other two friends, at least, because you can have as many as you want. And then, you know, you'll have some people that can, you know, jump in and back you up on some of this as well.
Yeah.
But for example, if you look at the case down in Mar-a-Lago, would you agree that that judge from the beginning has been in favor of Trump?
I don't think from the beginning, but at the very end when they just threw that case. You're talking about the one they just threw out.
Yeah.
They just threw that out right after they came back and said that they were the Supreme Court just came back and basically said that he's
the immunity thing, but it was
he has immunity.
Yeah.
But only as president, I believe.
Yeah, but that wasn't the reason she threw it out. She threw it out because she said the prosecutor was improperly put on the case.
Well, look at the way they did it. I mean, they went in with a freaking hit squad to come in and go after documents. And, I mean, did you see pictures from that day?
Yeah, but the FBI says it's always like that.
Well, of course they're going to say that. The FBI is probably one of the most crooked departments we got. But they went. And then they got Biden, and then they find documents with Biden in his garage. And did the scene look like that?
No, but that's because Biden gave them everything without any argument, and Trump was hiding it.
Trump was never hiding anything. They knew what he had.
Well, his people say, and these were his people, they say that, number one, Trump said, flood the room, and second, you know, so that they couldn't get at anything. And the second thing that his people said was that Trump said, well, listen, get rid of that stuff. Get it out of here so nobody can find it. I mean, that's why they are being prosecuted in this case, too. Of course, now it's thrown out. But here's the other thing about throwing it out, Jim. This is interesting. Every time that Judge Cannon, Aileen Cannon, did something in favor of Trump, they appealed it to the 11th District, which is where they are in South Florida. And yeah. And by the way, that was the same thing in New York. Every time that they ruled in favor of the prosecutor in New York, it was appealed. Now, on those appeals, Trump lost those appeals in New York. In Florida, both times that there were appeals, the 11th District came back and said, Judge Cannon, you're acting crazy. You can't do this stuff. Now, they haven't come back on the third one yet, but if on the third one, the 11th District says the same thing, they're going to throw her out. So, but this is just legal rules. And I understand that people don't always understand what those legal rules are. And I don't know, have you ever been in a court case yourself?
Have I ever been in a court case?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, I have, and I can tell you that the judge ruled on lots of different things against us throughout the case. And in the end, the jury believed us anyway. But the judge did exactly the kind of thing you're talking about. He kept ruling against us. He was a conservative judge. And this was a case having to do with radio. And in the end, we still sort of got shortchanged because he wouldn't allow evidence in for the value of the radio station. So the jury didn't even really know how much money to give us. So I'm just saying, these things happen in courtrooms, not just to Donald Trump, to anybody. But I know in this case, because of where we are in the politics, there's no question your side feels it wasn't fair.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that it happens to everybody, depending on where you're at. Absolutely,
yeah.
100%. Obviously, this is on a much bigger scale. Because
sure it is.
You know, here he's. Let's face it, this has been an absolutely crazy year. I mean, everything that's happened right now is a first, and just about everything, you know, from all the way down to the point, you know, of, you know, from, you know, him getting indicted to all the way down to, you know, Joe Biden dropping out of the race.
Sure.
You know, I mean, this is stuff that I don't think either one of us would ever thought we'd have seen in our lifetime.
So, by the way, how do you feel about Joe Biden being pushed out?
You know what? Here, I obviously think Joe Biden obviously he's got serious issues as far as with his health and mental capacity. What I don't like about him being pushed out is the fact that he was voted in to be the candidate by the American people.
Sure.
I mean, you know, push politics aside here, and, you know, who I stand for, you stand for, you know, he was pushed out, and he was voted, you know, the American people are the ones that said we want him to be our candidate.
Well, the Democrats, right.
Yeah, the Democrats.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it remains to be seen what happens with the DNC from here. As to how they handle this, obviously Kamala Harris is the front runner, but you know, how do you just, you know, there has to be some kind of a vote. There has to be some kind of say so from the American people, or it's not going to sit well with a lot of people, you know, including me. Obviously, you know, I got a lot less to lose here. I'm not a Democrat, but still, I'd like to see things going back to a little bit more normality here. You know what I mean? Let me ask you, what do you think of how it happened?
Well, and I'm going to answer it by doing it in this way. You notice that an enormous amount of people have jumped on the bandwagon with Kamala Harris. They mm-hmm. they like her. They think this is a good thing. And I can tell you, as an example, there were 200 people every day, roughly, that were volunteering for the Democratic Party to help in this election up until the switch. And the day of the switch, 28,000 people jumped in to volunteer for Kamala Harris. Does that sound a little impressive?
You know what? I honestly don't know. I find it insane that there would be that many people that would actually stand up for Kamala Harris. I mean, Kamala Harris has had one job since she's been the vice president, and that's the border, and she's been horrible at it. I mean, I was watching videos of her speeches she's made since she's been vice president, and I mean, she's loony. I mean, she's almost a female version of Joe Biden, a younger female version of Joe Biden.
Yeah, I think she is with the ability, however, to speak clearly.
Sometimes. I mean, but there's times where she was talking about, I don't know if you've seen that one speech where she was rambling on. There's about 10 of them that I posted on my Facebook site. And it's just ones I found within a minute. And they were speeches she did that were just absolutely made no sense. And she was talking about, you know, and yesterday is going to be like tomorrow, and tomorrow is because of yesterday. And it kept going back and forth, and everybody's looking at her like, what is she talking about? Yeah. But she's a little wacky, there's no doubt. I think they like the idea of having the first female president. I think they like that. I think sure. they think that's her best chance, their best shot at beating Donald Trump. Because Joe Biden would not have beat Donald Trump. I don't think there was any chance that that was going to happen, especially after the debate and what was happening with his health. Right now, you know, she's doing better than Joe Biden. But let's face it, this just happened. So nobody really knows what the polling is right now.
So let me ask you this, Jim. If she wins, that which is a question a lot of people are asking candidates. So if she wins personally, Jim Modlin, what would you say? Would you think it's rigged, or would you say she won?
I would say it would depend on how it went down. If we had a normal election that went down like normal elections do, that don't stretch 3 weeks into, you know, votes pouring in. You know, I remember the last election where I stayed up all night long watching it. I remember watching one of the states, one of the battleground states, and 23,000 votes come in, and all 23,000 went to Biden and zero to Trump. I'm like thinking, wait a minute, did I just see that?
Well, now you know that the courts looked at all of that, and not only in 60 cases out of 60 did they say that there was absolutely no fraud at all, but on top of that, the Secretary of State in those various states all said that everything was done appropriately, and they were often Republican secretaries of state.
I don't believe it for a second. Did you watch the show 2,000 Mules?
No.
You owe it yourself to watch that. That's strictly pure facts of a study that one guy did that makes all those movies and stuff. I can't think of his name. I think he's Indian, I believe.
Dinesh D'Souza.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And they did a study of that night using cell phone technology of how they were going around and stuffing ballots. And if you watch that show, and it's hard to explain, but if you watch it, by the end of the show, you're thinking, wow, this is crazy. But it's here. Everybody, let's face it. Everybody out there that's Democrat or even close to being a Democrat, if a Republican says it was rigged, they think you're crazy. There's several different types of rigged. As far as, voting early voting, mail-in voting. You know, I was sent, what'd we get? I think me and my wife and my oldest son each got two or three ballots. I think it was two ballots in the mail. We didn't ask for ballots.
Okay.
We vote in person. We always have. It's just a big belief of mine. I think the military should be able to vote, through the mail. I think the, people that handicap should be able to vote through the mail. But I don't think there's any reason to have people voting through the mail that doesn't need to vote through the mail. I mean, do you remember all the elections before this last one where we knew who the winner was on election night? There was no going off 3 weeks still counting mail-in voting. I mean, it was just absolutely absurd.
Yeah, actually, in some places that does happen. But let me give you an example. Missouri, where we are, is really good at allowing mail-in ballots. But we mail in votes huge amounts. In fact, I just got a thing in the mail the other day saying, if you can't handle this, make sure that you contact so and so because you can mail in your votes. I mean, Missouri goes to great lengths to allow these things to be mailed in, and yet Donald Trump won by an enormous amount in Missouri, even with mail-in ballots. So what does that tell you?
Well, I don't think they're going to do it strictly in Democratic, I mean, strictly in Democratic states, because that would be a little obvious at that point.
Well, wait, Georgia, Georgia's a Republican state, and Raffensperger in Georgia, the Secretary of State, told Trump in that phone call that we heard taped, he said, you know, you lost. And Trump said, well, I only need 12,000 votes. Just tell people that we recalculated. Does that bother you?
Are you talking about when he said fine 12,000?
Yeah, votes? Yeah.
You know what? I think at that point was probably by, was that getting into January by that point?
Or No.
It was in December, maybe.
Yeah, it was in December.
Okay, it wasn't right after the...
Well, it was pretty close. Pretty close.
And I think... do I think what he said was wrong? Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and try and act crazy and say no, but, I mean, he is... you know, that should have never been said. There's a lot of stuff that was done wrong. I think he was frustrated. Like over that whole January 6th riot thing. I mean, the guy flat out told everybody to go peacefully. Go peacefully. You know, make the case.
At the end.
They tried to blame him for that. I mean, that's insane. Yeah. They were doing, and then finally Pelosi, didn't she finally admit recently that she's the one that held off for 3 hours or sent the National Guard in?
No, Trump said that and she denied it.
I thought she actually admitted
I heard her deny it. But Trump said that exactly what you're saying. And
well, the head of the Capitol Police, the head guy. I watched the video. I did watch the interview with him, and he said that. Now, he didn't say Pelosi. He just said that he kept calling his contact saying, "Can we please get them down here now?" And it was almost 3 hours before they actually sent anybody down.
Yeah.
That thing was set up. It was set up from the get-go. No doubt in my mind about that one. I'll flat out come out and say that one. That was set up. And they're trying to blame Trump over that. Trump said go peacefully. He said it plain as clear as day.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing he did to make them think that they should go down there and start breaking into things. And then you find out that we got FBI agents dressed as actual, you know, regular people blending in with the crowd, cheering them on, trying to get them to break into the Capitol. I mean, that's a fact. I mean, they've proven some of that.
Well, that's a fact that Trump claims, but of course,
I didn't hear it from Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that's been out there, and I can't even think of the main guy's name, but here, I watched it. I watched it in the, in the House when they were having their, they were drilling some of those guys about what happened down there. And all they kept saying was, they weren't pleading the fifth, but they were doing something real similar. They just kept saying that they wouldn't answer the question.
Yeah.
And when they were interviewing, the House was interviewing the FBI, the head of the FBI, and then one of the main agents that was down there dressed as in street clothes. And you know, they would not talk about it. And I mean, it was obvious what happened. Yeah. And we might be getting off the subject.
No. Listen, that any subject is fine. So what I'm going to say is this: first of all, I really appreciate the half hour that you just gave us. Okay, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to get some of your other friends.
Yeah.
And we're going to come on pretty regularly and let you guys tell your story. And obviously you can see that I'm not, you know, jumping down. I wouldn't jump down your throats or theirs either. You know,
that's the reason why we're friends, Mark.
No, that's right.
You're the one guy that's on Facebook. And the reason why we started talking, that even when people would jump on you, there was no rattling your cage to make you come back and start calling people names.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
No. Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
I've gotten out of that. I've calmed down dramatically. I still voice my opinion, but, you know, I don't like the... Here, I believe that you can be friends with somebody and have totally different political views. I just think that's the way it should be.
Well, I think that in this country, we've done that for 248 years.
Yeah, I know.
And all of a sudden, we've gone berserk. But right. But I really appreciate you tremendously. And I look forward to hearing your friends as well. And we're going to have some fun here.
That sounds good, man.
Okay, Jim. Listen, by the way, first of all, I know you're a car dealer. And what do you sell?
We sell a little bit of everything. We got a lot of SUVs. We got a few Porsches and Teslas and a lot of SUVs down here. Autoplex of Afton on Graboy.
Okay.
Down here in Afton. It's a good friend of mine's lot. I've been down here helping him out for the last month.
Okay. Yeah, because you've got a real history in the car business. You know what you're doing. Yeah. You know, I know you do. So, okay. And really, again, I just want to say that I really appreciate you. And we'll talk again.
Sounds good, Mark.
Okay, Jim. Thank you.
You have a good day, sir.
You bet. Okay, so that was our first attempt to, you know, bring in the other side a little bit. And let's hear what some Trumpers have to say. And we talked earlier about this Trumper thing, and he said, no, that's okay. Trumper, they like that. So, you know, that's good too. So anyway, I don't know. You can let me know if we still have any scratchiness in the microphone, because I was a little concerned that it might be something to do with the connection with his computer. So we're going to have to work on that next time. But anyway, you can let me know, Michael, if we're still having a problem. And I want to say that for sure, people should go for dinner to Wendy's. I mean, forget all this other junk. Just go to Wendy's and enjoy your dinner, even if you got to hear some scratchiness for a half an hour more before your dinner. But if you do, hey, your dinner is going to make up for everything, because believe me, they've got such great wings. And you know, I had a guy on last night, one of my buddies, Charles Muhammad, and he said he loves wings. In fact, everybody I bring on here says they love wings. And I guess I'm the only one who really doesn't like wings. Everyone else does. I guess that's why Ben sells wings. But I know he's got those baby back ribs, and that's what I love. And then also the onion rings, too. That's the casein special. The rest of it is what everybody else really likes anyway, and that includes smoked meat, and it includes the hamburgers and cheeseburgers and pizza and everything you can imagine. And then after you eat all this good food and you drink and you have a great time with all your friends, all you got to do is hop in your car and move on to Defiance, Missouri, and you can do the whole thing all over again. It's all the same great food at Wendy's. So check them out at 2999 South Highway 94, 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road in the Valley. And the bottom line is, it's Wendy's, and that's great. Okay, when it comes to jewelry, I'm going to send you over to 4506 Hampton, and that is Jewels on Hampton, and they have everything. And they've got all these cases filled with jewelry. Go in there, check it out. You can pick out something you like. Talk to Al or AJ about it, and the prices are great. I've heard people really, they like Al. I mean, Al is just a straightforward guy, and he's a fun guy. So now you might be, I think you're okay now. A couple of days ago when I was in there, he had a cold. Good news is I didn't get it. Bad news is it was terrible. But anyway, he's just a good guy, and they sell jewelry. They design jewelry. They buy and sell jewelry and coins. And then when it's all said and done, they can also fix your watch, because they're experts at fixing watches as well. That's 4506 Hampton in St. Louis, and that is Jewels on Hampton. Now, when it comes to really great men's clothing, I promise you can't do better than the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. You just can't really do better. The prices are low. The quality is high. And then again, they've got those ties, and that is ridiculous because, you know, when you could buy a tie for $5 that looks like a $50 tie at some other department store, well, it attracts people, and that's why a lot of people do business at the St. Louis Suit Company. That's why they've been there for 29 years, because they are really good with their customers, and they just sell good clothing. I can't wait until school starts in 3 weeks. I know my kids are going to be very excited when they see me come to school every day with my regular suit, but also wearing jeans. It's my new fashion. I've been assured by the St. Louis Suit Company that I can do it and I can be considered well-dressed. And in fact, the other day I got in an elevator over at Washington University with my suit and my jeans and my chucks. And the person got on the elevator, didn't even know me, just somebody jumped in the elevator and said, "Are you a weatherman?" I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, you know, the weathermen are wearing what you're wearing." And then I laughed and I said, "Yeah, apparently that's the case. But other people are doing it too because it is fashionable." So there it is. St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. And if you're looking for wedding attire, you want to go to the same place. St. Louis Suit Company is tops for wedding attire. They're well known in St. Louis. For people who get married, they go to the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. 29 years, you can't beat it. People are voting with their money to go to the St. Louis Suit Company, so you definitely want to check them out. For example, people are voting against Donald Trump with their money. All his businesses are gone. The only thing he's got left is a campaign which was so excited. I mean, everybody thought they had it made after that convention. They were just totally enthusiastic. And within about 3 or 4 days, Kamala Harris stepped into this thing, and the air came out of the Trump campaign. They're all crying. They don't know what to do. They're afraid that they should have never picked J.D. Vance. I mean, they're all looking at each other. It's a circular firing squad. They don't know what to do. Everybody's blaming everybody else. Now, one of the things that Trump said, and I did talk to Jim about this, but I'm not sure if we were on the air at that point. But, you know, they had a big rally, and Trump said to the people that some political experts are suggesting that Trump try to be a little different, try to be kind and generous and caring. And Trump said, "What do you think? Should I be good or should I be bad?" And his crowd said, "Bad, be bad." And Trump said, "Well, that's good because that's what I was going to do anyway." So Trump's back to where he was. And that's why there isn't a chance that he can win this thing. The only chance he's had, which all along it's been like this, you know, if Donald Trump could act like a human being, there are people out here who would vote for him. But he reminds everybody every day that he's a disaster. And so they just don't want any part of him. And let's look at a couple of ideas here of what Donald's saying. Now, who would say this? Who would say that the United States is a stupid country, that we are purposely, intentionally bringing murderers into this country because we want to be a country filled with murderers? According to him, it's the Democrats who are doing this, and that we've become a dumping ground for criminals. I mean, you could say these words. Doesn't make any sense. As you know, Joe Biden said, which is the truth. I mean, these are government numbers. Our violent crime rate is down to a 50-year low. And yet, 75% of the people polled by Gallup, they say the crime is at a 50-year high. 75% of the people polled. Well, they're just wrong. They may think it, but it's just not true. But it is what they said. So anyway, that's one example of how crazy he's become. Now, here's an example of something that I think Joe, you can handle this. And you're listening to me? Yes. Okay, good. If you go to our normal site, the television site, and you go to Morning Joe, and that's today's Morning Joe, and go to 1 hour and 26 minutes.
Of course, it's asking me for your password now. It's not going to let me do it.
You are kidding me.
Nope.
Unbelievable. Now, isn't that crazy? That is so bizarre. Well, you know something? Come over here a second because I'm going to give you the password.
Right.
I mean, that is ridiculous. I am just not going to be defeated. Okay. So here is the password. That is so crazy. So, okay, to 1 hour and 26 minutes. And when you get there, let me know because I'll tell you what they have there. It's really good. It's Ronald Reagan. And it's Ronald Reagan. I was shocked to hear him even say it. I didn't even remember him saying it. And it just goes to show how, you know, we can all be blind to the truth sometimes because I did not like Ronald Reagan. In fact, I disliked Ronald Reagan so much that when I went to UCLA, I intentionally passed on graduating in 1972. Of course, I was 20 years old, so you can... You know, I guess I wasn't thinking straight. But at any rate, here's the thing. I refused to graduate until I could get Jerry Brown's signature on my diploma because I didn't want to live a lifetime with Ronald Reagan on there. Having said that, wait till you hear what he said about immigration. I've heard people describe it, but it's nothing like what you hear when you actually listen to the man, almost sounds like me. But anyway, it's just incredible because Trump is just going berserk in the things that he's saying again. I mean, he's bounced right back to where he was. He's reverted to lunacy, which is actually hurting him. And you know, there's another story that's out here right now, and this one is an old story. It's 3 years old. Not well, I think it's somewhere in there, 24, 25.
Okay, what are we looking for?
You're looking for Ronald Reagan.
Oh, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as you see him, you'll see him in a second. You're in the right place. But anyway, I can just tell you that, you know, the things that Donald Trump is saying right now, like this thing from 2021, which was actually not, it was not Trump. It was Vance. And in 2021, he went on this rant about how cat ladies, that all these women in the Democratic Party running for office, they were all cat ladies without children. That is crazy. And women are so angry about it. And the truth is, all Trump and Vance would have to do is stand up and say, look, I lost my mind. I don't know why I said it. But they won't even do that. Okay, let's listen to Ronald Reagan, the voice of reason. I can't believe it.
Important sources of America's greatness. We lead the world Because unique among nations, we draw our people, our strength, from every country and every corner of the world. And by doing so, we continuously renew and enrich our nation. While other countries cling to the stale past, here in America, we breathe life into dreams. We create the future, and the world follows us into tomorrow. Thanks to each wave of new arrivals to this land of opportunity, we're a nation forever young, forever bursting with energy and new ideas, and always on the cutting edge, always leading the world to the next frontier. This quality is vital to our future as a nation. If we ever closed the door to new Americans, our leadership in the world would soon be lost.
That is so unbelievable. When you think about, number one, what Donald Trump says all the time, talking about murderers, talking about insane people emptying insane asylums into America, and plus, you know, and I've talked about this repeatedly, that the numbers show that the people who come from these other countries hardly commit a crime ever. Now, that doesn't mean you can't find somebody that does commit a crime. Sure you can. And that's what Trump does. He pulls somebody out that commits a crime, and he says, oh, look, they're all doing it. Well, that's not true. They aren't all doing it. And the statistics show that they're not doing it. But you just heard Ronald Reagan saying what I've been saying all along, which when I say it, people look at me like I'm crazy. I say, look, let these people in. First of all, it's on the Statue of Liberty, which I understand is not a law, but it is our advertisement to the world that we want people to come here, and we don't want their best. We want the hungry and the poor who are hoping to be able to find some way to breathe here in freedom. And of course, that, by the way, is, you know, brilliantly what Kamala Harris is out here talking about right now. That's her new ads are all talking about how she is the candidate for freedom. But the amazing part is now that the backup comes from Ronald Reagan. I'm in shock when I hear that. Every time I've seen that, I just can't even believe that he said it, because he did a lot of bad things in the time that he was president of the United States, from my standpoint, for sure. I could tell you right away that in University of California system, professors were exiting UC Berkeley, UCLA. They wanted out. They would go anywhere in the country to get away from Ronald Reagan. But in the meantime, it turns out that this guy was advertising for more people to come into this country from other countries. I mean, how do you even figure that? I'll tell you, Michael, you're out there, you know, still listening. And, you know, like you say, it's a cult that's Donald. But are you shocked to hear Ronald Reagan talking like that? Because that sounds like me. And when I say it, people say, you're crazy. And I talk about, you know, sending a million kids down to the border in order to help these people to fit into our society. And people look at me like, oh, those kids are going to be murdered, and it's just a terrible idea, and so forth. And yet, it turns out it's Ronald Reagan who was pushing this idea. So, you know, if you have access to internet television, you can go this morning. Like I said, I just put it in there, 1 hour and 26 minutes into Morning Joe. And he played the entire Ronald Reagan clip from, you know, 50 years ago. It's unbelievable. And look where we are. We got people out here saying that, and believe me, we've got Democrats who are saying that these people are coming across the border causing a problem. Not Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan said, if we ever stop allowing these people wide open entrance to the United States, that will destroy our country. That's unbelievable. I'm in shock still saying it. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you didn't see. Okay, you had walked away, Michael. But if you go into the show, you know, you can catch a rerun on the my website. And all you got to do is go to about 45 minutes in. It'll only take you a couple of minutes to do it. And you can listen to Ronald Reagan saying that we need all of these people to come into the United States, that it revives our country, it rejuvenates our country, it makes us a healthy place for people to live. I mean, these were just his words. I just can't believe it was from Ronald Reagan. And yet, today, at 2024, if you play that for Republicans, I guarantee you they won't even accept it from Ronald Reagan. They're still going to say that they want these people out of here. They're still going to talk about mass deportations. Ronald Reagan said, let them all in. Let them in. We need these people. And instead, of course, we're talking about mass deportations. It's a problem. And I can assure you that there are enough people in this country who are going to listen to Kamala Harris. And Kamala is not going to go as far as Ronald Reagan, which is pretty funny. That is funny to say. I can sit here and promise you today that those words of Ronald Reagan will never come out of the mouth of Kamala Harris, because there isn't a Democrat alive who would be willing to say that. I've talked to Democratic Party candidates off the air, and they say, yes, that would be terrific to let all those people in. But I can't say it on the air. I can't say it publicly. You wouldn't believe the people that I'm talking about. I mean, people that I haven't even had on here yet. But they say that they can't say it because the public would annihilate them at the polls. And yet, Ronald Reagan was out here saying these things. It's quite amazing. So, okay, let's move on. How about this one? And imagine if you're Donald Trump and your party is looking at Kamala Harris and you're saying, wait a minute, what are we going to do here? Because Kamala Harris is suddenly so popular. I mean, everybody loves her. The Democratic Party, by the tens of thousands, are volunteering to work for her, donating money. I talked to somebody today that said to me that he never donated to a campaign in his life. And he sent money yesterday to Kamala Harris. I'm telling you, this is no joke. This is really taking off. And if you're Donald Trump, you're looking out here and you're saying to yourself, wait a minute, how did I get in this mess? Now, he's not saying that publicly. Publicly, here's what he's saying. And if he thinks this is going to get him anywhere, he's as nuts as his niece says he is. Suddenly he's saying, Lion Kamala Harris. Lion Kamala spells it out, L-Y-I-N apostrophe. I mean, he has lost his mind. There are women out here who do not want to hear another woman demeaned in this way. There is no way, if he keeps doing this, wait till you see these numbers in the poll. He's going to be destroyed, and I think it's going to happen anyway. And I'll tell you, the Republican Party has gone from elation right after that convention to suddenly they're scared out of their wits. They don't know what to do. Now, grant you, they're just regular run-of-the-mill people who don't understand what's happening here. They think everybody's still excited in the Republican Party and so forth. But, you know, because if they watch, for example, Fox, or if they watch Newsmax or any of these other stations, they're not showing all this enthusiasm that's out here. They're not telling the story. They're not talking about the 28,000 people who showed up the very next day to volunteer for Kamala Harris after it was only 200 people per day prior to that. I mean, the Republican Party is scared, and the Democratic Party is energized beyond belief. I mean, that's just where we are. This is just a change that came overnight. People are inspired. They're inspired by this woman. And you know, the Republican Party is out here saying, which Jim Modlin said earlier, I mean, they don't see any of it. They think she's crazy. Well, they may think it, but it's not the way it's being perceived in the Democratic Party. It's going the exact opposite direction. Kamala Harris is getting enormous support, and nobody is buying into this lying Kamala business. I mean, Donald better get off of that subject, because there's some women out here who do not want to hear this kind of talk. Maybe he'll figure it out. Maybe he won't. But I think it's too late anyway. I never thought Donald could win an election again anyhow. So when he loses, look what Jim said. They're not going to accept it. They're just not. They say, well, if it takes too long to count the ballots, they're not going to go for that. If people are mailing in ballots, they're not going to go for that. If the results don't occur at the exact time that everybody thinks they should come through, they're not going to go for that. If they get a bunch of ballots that are counted for Kamala Harris that come in separately, they're not going to go for that. They don't care if all of this is the way it's been done in the past, because it has. It truly has. You know, sometimes ballots get held for lots of different reasons. The question is, are all the ballots counted? And so that's what happens. They take ballots that maybe have been set aside for some reason or another, maybe even accidentally, and then they bring them in and they count them, and then that's it. And sometimes there are vast changes in an election because, you know, all the ballots that are coming in might be coming in from, say, Milwaukee, where all the black voters were voting for Joe Biden. So then they come in from some outstate area in Wisconsin, and all those votes go for Donald Trump. That's just what happens. They count the different areas, you know, separately. That's normal. It happens all the time. And so you have to wait until the end. Now, it's true that some of these news outlets have other information as far as the polling that they do, that they call exit polling. And so they have some idea of what's coming from various areas because what people tell them when they leave the polls. That's normal. That's not unusual. And so that they can make some calls that go beyond what you've got in the actual numbers. And so, again, this confuses Donald Trump's people because Donald tells them that this is evidence that something is being done wrong, that the election is rigged. But it's not that at all. And there were 60 cases that went before judges. And in all 60 cases, including Trump judges, they found that election in 2020 was absolutely perfect, that nothing was wrong. In fact, a lot of the states, including Republican states, are saying that it was one of the best elections that we've ever had. But it doesn't matter, because there are people out here who just won't believe it. Well, not only are they sure that votes were harvested, as they say, which is, again, that means that they just went out and they got Joe Biden votes and they threw them in that weren't even real. But that's not true either. That all that was put in front of judges and everybody looked at it and they said, no, this didn't happen. And then Donald's people refused to believe the judges. So it's going to come to this anyway. I mean, let's say that Donald loses by 10 points, which I think is possible. Well, I can tell you right now, if it happens, they're going to say it didn't happen. But here's something that is happening. This program is brought to you by Wendy's and Jules on Hampton. and the St. Louis Suit Company. And I'll be back tomorrow. I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.